Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the Epistle of 1 John chapter 5. The Epistle of 1 John chapter 5, and the title of this message today is The Acid Test of Christmas. The last two Sundays and this morning we've been taking a journey toward Christmas this year. Just to look at some really important things about the truth of the birth of Christ. And two Sundays ago, it was the real meaning of Christmas. Last Sunday morning was, who is this God born in Bethlehem? And this morning we come to look at the acid test of Christmas. So if you would, today, in honor of reading God's Word, stand with me as we read together 1 John chapter 5. I guess we'll read verses. I just want to read verse 1 for right now. The Apostle Peter wrote this to the believers, the Jewish believers that had been spread out from Jerusalem because of persecution. And in chapter 5 and verse 1, he says this: whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him that begat, that is the Father that begat the Son, the Father loves him who is Jesus, loves also Jesus who is begotten of him. And in the New American Standard it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. Let's pray as we come this morning. Father, we're thankful today to be in this place. We're thankful, Father, for your grace and mercy that has invaded our lives and brought us to the truth of who we are and who you are. And through the proclaiming of your gospel and the hearing of your gospel, we can assess what this world and this life is really all about, and only one important thing, and that's you. We just pray, Father, you'll bless the time in your word this morning, and we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In this, looking at this verse and the verses following here, just very quickly, I'd like to ask this question this morning. What does Christmas mean to you? Now, don't answer, because we get all kinds of answers. We'll get caught up in that, and then we'll be after 12 o'clock, which is not unusual for us anyway. But there's a lot of various answers to that question. What does Christmas mean to you? Now, I hope and I pray, and I see it more and more on television ministries and other pastors and preachers and people writing articles. I hear more and more about what the real meaning of Christmas is. And we've looked at that the last two Sundays and come again this morning one last time to see what Christ being born is really all about. And so what does this Bible say about Christ and his birth in Bethlehem? Well, we've answered that in the 2 weeks ago. We answered the question of who is Jesus. He's God. He's the Creator. He's the Eternal. He's the head of the church. He's the fullness of God. And he's also the Reconciler. So we concluded that day that the baby born in Bethlehem was God. That's the most important truth about Christmas that any of us can ever think or remember. Jesus made everything. He is the Creator. We find that in various passages of Scriptures. So, then we ask the question, where did Jesus come from? Well, he came from the presence of God. And where is God? He is in heaven. Where is heaven? It's out in eternity somewhere. There's no beginning, no end. So where did Jesus come from? He came eternally from heaven. And then we ask the question, why did he come? And everyone knows John 3:16, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that is why he came. And what did he do? We looked at that. He died for our sins. He died for you and me. And now he lives in heaven, interceding for you and me. And one day he is coming again. Now that's the fullness of the Christmas story. So who is this God born in Bethlehem? It's Jesus. The angel told Mary and Joseph, his name shall be called Jesus. And that means Yahweh or Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah is the Savior. So we took a little bit of time last Sunday morning and examined the name of Jehovah, the name Yahweh, I am that I am, and what all that meant. And so all of that is the deep truth about Christmas. And it's about God. It's about Christ. It's about sin. It's about judgment of sin. It's about mercy. It's about forgiveness. And it's about love. And we're talking about real love, not human love, though that's involved in it. We're talking about love, the love of God. It's about redemption, and it's also about reconciliation. So with all of that historical account that we've looked at in a couple of weeks now, God of coming into the world to be a man who would pay the debt for your sins and my sins for all the people of the world, to free us from the power of sin and to live a life of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is what God is and what God does. And so with the Spirit of God in every child of God, born again of God, then God is living out His righteousness in us, in you and in me. So the question now for each and every one of us to ask ourselves, and not just on Christmas or once in a while, but we need to from time to time examine ourselves and ask, is it real? Is this real in me? Is it genuine in me, what I have? Is it just something I'm playing around with or I grew up with or what? Or is it really real? Is it really genuine? And then the Apostle John in this epistle comes and brings what I believe, what I've decided to call this morning, the acid test for saving faith. Because that's what he's doing when it comes down to chapter 5 in verse 1. So look with me again at this verse. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Then he stops there. It's not the end of the sentence. There's more to come, but he stops there. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is the one who is born of God. And then he goes on saying, everyone who loves him that begat the Father who gave the Son also loves the one who is begotten, that is, who loves Jesus also. So what is the context then of this passage of Scripture, this verse of Scripture? It was written by the Apostle John. He wrote it to the church, the believers who were at large. Because of persecution in Jerusalem, people fled for their lives so they would not experience persecution, punishment, torment, death, all sorts of those types of things. And so John wrote to these who had scattered out away from Jerusalem in that area. So he's written to the, so that the readers would know, the reason he wrote to them was that they would know that he indeed possessed eternal life and salvation. Through Christ, you and I can know that we possess eternal life and salvation. We don't have to wait till we come to the end of our life or we have some reason we're coming very close to the end of our life. Maybe have a terminal illness and things like this that people struggle with and deal with. And then wait and see if I've got it or not. John says, here's how you can know. So it's the acid test of what Christmas is really all about. The coming of God into a stable and then being wrapped in swaddling clothes, as we read before, and laid in a feeding trough for an animal. That's what happened. The God of glory reduced himself down to being born in a stable and was laid in a feeding trough. Why did he do all of that? He did that for you and for me and for all the people of the world. And so John writes this so that people can know that this is the truth. And if it's the truth, it doesn't ever change. And if, since it is the truth, it doesn't ever change. And since it is the truth, you and I can count on it. We can behold it. We can embrace it. And we can grasp a hold of it and never let go. And the Bible promises we'll never be ashamed if we know the truth. So before we come to chapter 5, there's chapters 3 and 4. And chapters 3 and 4, the subject is that there are 6 tests that one does in order to love God. And it's the test for salvation in a sense. But then in chapter 5, we come that this is the proof test. And I've taken the example of the acid test. How many of you know, you've heard that phrase before, the acid test? You know what it refers to? Testing for what? Anybody know? Heard it all your life, right? You heard it all your life, Bill? Do you know what it means? Anybody have it? It's the test. Do that? It is. It was a test for the pureness of gold. You get on the internet and bring it up and they'll show you how to test for 4 different purities of gold and what it means. If it's a weak amount of gold, if it's mixed with other things, when you put this acid on it, it'll boil up. It'll eat through. But if you have, the purer the gold is, the stronger the acid you have to have in order to affect the gold in any way. So this is the acid test. What John says here, what John wrote here some 2,000 years ago, is what you and I can use as the acid test of saving faith in God through Jesus Christ. And so we come to see that there the scope of this test. Look with me at this verse, first verse here. Wherefore, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. So the scope of the test. The scope of the test is Jesus. He is the goal. He is the one. He is the scope of the test. He's the broad view. We looked at that last week. He is the I Am. The I Am is the only one, the absolute one. No beginning, no end, no sin, no sickness, no death. He is absolute. He exists because of who He is. No one gave Him life. No one can take it away from Him. He will have no end to life. And all the qualities of God that He is, that are there, is wrapped up in that name, Jesus. That's who He is. And so John is saying, whosoever believes that Jesus, this one who is the great I Am, and if you believe also, then you believe, because a lot of people believe in God, but they don't know who God is. They don't know what God is about. And there's gods of the Muslims, the gods of the Buddhas, and all these other people, and all kinds of gods that are out there. But this is the one true living God. And so this is that Jesus who is the Christ. So the scope of it is that it is Jesus. The second part of the scope of it is that He is the Christ. The word Christ is where we get our word from Messiah, and it comes from the Hebrew word, and it means anointed one. It means that God selected, God ordained, He anointed that this would come to be and come to pass. Well, the eternal Word. We can't understand the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the Son, the Word of God, this one, God determined, in the book of Romans talks about the counsels of God in eternity past before anything was created. God determined that the eternal Word would become a man and He would die for the sins of the people. The book of Revelation, you can go and read, behold, the Lamb of God slain before the creation of the foundation of the world. So here it is. Here's the scope of this test. It is Jesus who is the I Am. It is Christ who is anointed of the Father, the anointed of God, who would come and who would die for the sins of the people. And so He says it this way, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, that one is born of God. And that is the determination of the test. That's what's being tested for. The purity of the statement is to be born of God. The question is this morning, are you born of God? Question I ask myself, am I really born of God? I can't figure it out in my mind. I can't convince myself emotionally that I'm born of God. I've got to rely on the truth, to know the truth and to know that I am born of God because of what God says is required and what God has done. It's not what you did. It's not what I did. For a long time when I was young, saved when I was 12, for a long time I had tried to figure out, did I say the right words in the prayer? I didn't even know very much about what I was praying for when I asked God to forgive me of my sins and to save me. I didn't know. I didn't understand all of that. You don't have to. We come in simple childlike trust that what we've heard is the truth. And when we trust the truth, then God does what He does. He births us again. He gives us the gift of eternal life, the gift of the forgiveness of our sins. So that is the scope of the test. And the proof of the test is what in the second part of that verse, and everyone's born of God, and everyone that loves Him, the loves Jesus, and loves the Father, then that is the proof in the test. Do you love God? That's a question we have to ask ourselves every day, I believe, as Christians. Do I love God as the Scriptures say I love God? How are we to love God? We're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Do you love God in that capacity? That's not easy. To love Him with all of our being, with everything that's there, it is not an easy thing, but it is a it is a reachable thing because it is the power of God who works in us. Man, we'll see here because of faith that we have that and we possess that. So look with me again, now down into verse 2. It says, but by this we know, that is, that we're born of God, and that we know that we're born of God because we love God and we love the Son, Jesus Christ. By this we know that we love the children of God. Now, here's part of that acid test. If we really love God and we really love the Son of God, then we will love one another. You and I will love one another. And we, in my Sunday school class this morning, we're finally in the over halfway through the last chapter of the book of Romans. After 2.5 years, we're coming to the close of closing an era in my Sunday school class in here. And people, there's trouble everywhere. Everyone has trouble. Everyone has problems. We still have this carnal, fleshly body that we live in that is susceptible to temptation and to sin and to failure and to defeat. But you see, God is not defeated. It's the working of God in you and me that brings the power of God, that gives us victory over our sins, that gives us victory over the world. And we'll see that here more in just a moment. But in verse 2, he says, here's how we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. So loving God, what does that all involve? It involves obedience to God. Keep the commandments. Obey the word of God. Obey the commandments. Obey the law. Read the word of God and know what God says and then obey it. And if we want to obey, we have a love for God. If we don't want to obey, we probably go back and do a check over in our lives. And so we have these issues in our life. And so we come then now to verse 3, the results of the test. For this is the love of God. Here is the result, reading that acid test. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not a burden. They're not grievous. They're not a burden. God has not overburdened us with laws and commandments that are useless or that are unreachable, but God gives to you and to me what we need to follow His example, to live the life, the life of holiness, the life of righteousness that God calls us to live in this world, in this life. So when we obey His word, that is evidence, that is proof, positive, that we have the real thing. Then look with me at verse 4. Verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. So you see, another part of the test is we have victory over the way of the world. Are we living like the world, or are we living out in the world the way God wants us to live? Is another way to express that. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. You can't overcome the world. I can't overcome the world in my own power and my own strength. In your own power, your own strength, we've got to have the power of God in us. That's why God, on the day of Pentecost, gave the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to indwell every single believer, to give us wisdom to see and to discern and to know what sin is and what righteousness is, and to do to shun sin and to practice righteousness in our lives. And it's God who gives you and me the power and the ability. How does He do it? Well, it's a complicated thing, and I don't have all the answers, but I know one thing He does it by changing our thinking. Changing our mind, changing our thinking. That's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, how is it accomplished? By the continual renewing of our minds. You see, you have to love God to continually renew your mind in His Word. You have to have a relationship with God by having a relationship with the Bible, with the Word of God. And by relationship, I mean we've got to know its content. We've got to become familiar with it. It's overall. That's why we're doing the Scarlet Thread through the Bible for the children and children's church these weeks, and how many ever there are out there ahead of this, so that we might overcome the world by not practicing sin, but the practice of righteousness. The rest of verse 4 goes on to say, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's even our faith. And faith is not just simply belief. Faith is obedience. Faith is I submit myself to Jesus Christ, to following Him. What does it say in Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21? Paul said, I went door to door, knocking on the Gentiles' doors. I proclaimed to them, I preached to them the gospel. And here's what I said. He said, I preached to them the repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Faith toward Jesus Christ is doing what Jesus said in the Gospels. Come and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's pretty edgy. We all need work in that area. And so John writes, so whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory, and that is that overcomes the world. And it's our faith, it's our submission, it's our active obedience. Faith is active obedience to God. Yes, it involves belief, but it's more than belief. Then he says in verse 5, who is he that overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We're back up to verse 1, to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And those people are the ones who are born of God. So who is he that overcomes the world? The ones who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Then look with me at verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit, the capital letter S, the Holy Spirit, who bears witness, because the Holy Spirit is true, and he bears witness to the truth to show you and me what it is. So the witness there is that Jesus came by water and blood, by his baptism. What happened at the baptism of Jesus? There was the testimony of the Father. Jesus was the one being baptized, and then the Spirit of God descended like a dove there in that time. And so there's the testimony of all three, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the baptism of Jesus, there with water. And then by the blood, the testimony of the blood of Jesus, because he surrendered himself over to the hands of sinful men and gave himself over, and they tortured him and they abused him. Then they nailed him to a cross, and there he bled, and there he died. He didn't bleed to death. He didn't die from some sort of thing there. He literally, the Bible says, he dismissed his spirit. He said, no one takes my life from me, and I lay it down of my own accord, and I take it up of my own self. And he did that willingly for you and me. And that's great love. And then it says, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is true. Then finally, verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.